I believe me. Brings things out better. I just like...
Every single time, it's the word love. The only attempt to practice this false narrative that they preach is in the so-called Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible, here's... I'm going to read it to you. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do with the total commitment and devotion?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Again, he said to him the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with a total commitment and devotion?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend." Jesus said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with a deep personal affection for me as for a close friend?" Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, "Do you really love me with a deep personal affection as for a close friend?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend." Now, I have no fear in saying this because that is blasphemy. And it sounds like two drunk guys. "You know I love you with a deep personal..." I mean, it's just... That's not the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. Peter didn't say that. The King James Bible is not in error. The new versions do the same with the text, with one horrible exception, and that's the Amplified. And did you note that the reason Peter was upset with Jesus' questions had nothing to do with the words? They would teach this and say that Peter was upset because Jesus was saying agape, and he could only answer with phileo. You know how dumb that is? Yeah. No matter what version you're reading, the Bible, the text tells you why he's upset. He wasn't upset over linguistics, but the number of times Jesus repeated the question. It says right there in the text, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" Amen. See, that's why we're all to be Bereans. We hear this; these people teach, and if we will test what we hear by the Word of God, you'll sit there like I did most of the time for 15 years before I became a pastor. I'm sorry, I wanted to sit under people. I wanted to learn. I would go to churches. I spent months in churches just hoping God would, you know, use them to teach me something, and all I heard was absurdities. Amen. When they even bothered to try to teach anything. Most of the time they didn't even try to teach. Peter had denied Jesus how many times?
Three times.
That's what Peter... Oh yeah, sorry. Three. Yeah. That's what Peter was upset about. Why was that upsetting? You remember that was a prophecy that Peter fulfilled. In John 13:38, Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee," he's talking to Peter, "the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Wow. It was upsetting to Peter because he had denied Jesus three times, and now Jesus was asking him three times after being denied, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" That's "I love you." Yeah. That's what you're... I couldn't tell. Your thumb was hidden. I couldn't tell you. I thought you was throwing me the devil horn. I was like, what? But that is sign language, "I love you." So you asked, because the title said agape versus phileo. They're not against each other. They're friends. They phileo each other. So what other nonsense? Well, number four, the claim that the italicized words in the King James are not in the original. Raise your hand if you heard that before.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I've heard something like that.
That is pure ignorance.
Not that you have heard it, but that it is taught.
Here's an example. This is the King James Bible without italics in Psalm 12:5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set in safety puffeth at him. Yeah. I will set in safety puffeth at him. Makes no sense. Amen?
Amen.
It just reminds me of Cammie, because she does that a lot. She puffs. She gets a... Here's with the italics. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him.
Yeah.
See how that makes such a difference? Mm-hmm. Without the italicized words, you wouldn't know what you're even reading. Now, the NIV with no italics. You see, the NIV puts the exact same words in there, but they're just not honest enough to put it in italics. Everybody who's ever accused me of having a Bible that added words not in the original is carrying a Bible that adds words just like the King James does, but lies or covers up the fact that they're supposed to be in italics.
Yep.
Every new version hides the italicized words. They're there, but they hide them. I will protect them from those who malign them. That's how they translate that in the NIV. They're hypocrites and liars. Those words should be italicized, just like they are in the King James. But more than that, here's what it would read like without it. I will protect, malign them. Again, the ESV. They not only have the words without italics, they add the words for which he longs. You talk about adding words that aren't in the original. Nobody that I've read can explain why that's even there. But they too are not only hypocrites and liars, but perverts. They're perverting the word of God in addition. Here's how it would read without the italicized words. I will place safety. That's it. Hebrew and Greek speakers add italicized words since they understand those words to be there when they speak their language. In other words, if you read the Greek language text where there's italicized words in your English, when it's being spoken in Greek, the other guy hearing what you're saying automatically adds those words because they're not adding words. Those are inferred by the word usage, the word tense, the accent, and word order. If you understood their language, then they would be saying to you what would only have certain words, but they fill in the blank by what they hear, and they're not adding words. So when the King James translators put those words in, they put them in italics so that you would understand the words that are inferred by the word usage, the tense, and the word order, etc. But you would know that those words are what the hearer in Hebrew or Greek would hear when they're talking in that language.
They're built into that.
They're built in. Mary?
Are you saying it's like in Spanish?
Yes.
So you've got the verb go, but if
yes.
you say, which is ear... But if you say vominos, that means let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, but it's the same word, but it's in, they hear it and they mean, oh, it means all of us, but they're not. That is so cool.
Yeah. And so from now on, if you hear somebody say, well, the King James added italicized words, number one, they're in all the new versions, but not italicized. And number two, it's because they're there. They didn't add anything. They're simply telling you what that sentence to a Greek speaker reading or hearing that sentence would hear exactly what you see in your King James Bible. And every new version does the same thing, but they don't put it in italics. Isn't that amazingly just... I mean, most of the people who do that don't realize they're doing it, but it's just dishonest.
You know what? So if you worked as a translator...
Yes.
and you heard something in German and you didn't say it in English with enough words to mean it, then you get fired.
You'd be a bad translator.
Yeah. They're just translating.
Yeah. All the King James translators did was translate. And they put the words that are inferred, not adding words, but inferred words. And the hearer in Greek or Hebrew would infer those naturally if they were hearing that text read to them out loud. All right, one more quick one for the road.
Yep.
Amen?
Sure.
Amen? I can close it down now.
No.
You want one more?
Yeah.
All right, Livia asked me this one, and I told her I was going to address it tonight. The claim that new versions are from the oldest and best manuscripts, which is why they're missing thousands of words and verses. See, they say that, well, the reason why the NIV is missing 3,000 words and verses is because they're taken from older and better manuscripts. And so they just gave you what was supposed to be there in the first place. They insinuate that for 2,000 years, all the Bibles used by Bible believers had thousands of words and verses that should have never been there in the first place. They have to admit that from the very beginning of church history, God blew it. Our Bibles for 2,000 years have been terribly corrupt. And all of a sudden, they're now saving us from that bad text. And they're taking out all these... Yeah, that's similar. So, before I go to... Here's the explanation. Alexandrinus, Sinaiticus, and Vaticanus are the three manuscripts, for the most part, that new versions are taken from. Whether it's the Westcott-Hort text that produced the Revised Version and the 1901 American Standard, or the Nestle-Aland text that they used for the Revised Standard Version, or the United Bible Society's text, which now is used for all new versions. They all come from Vaticanus with edits. And where Vaticanus is either missing or just messed up, they patchwork it with something from Alexandrinus or Sinaiticus. And sometimes those are also bad. They go back to the King James Hebrew and Greek text and fill in the blanks there. The reason why those manuscripts, those three, basically, we'll say the two, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, the reason they are so old is because they were rejected. Over 1,000 years ago, they were recognized by people who had brains that they were corrupt. For starters, they're not even Koine Greek manuscripts. They're classical Greek. We know that the original Greek text was given in Koine Greek.
Yep.
The Alexandrinus, Sinaiticus, and Vaticanus are in classical Greek. It's like the difference between today's English and what John Wycliffe spoke. Huge differences. But because they were rejected, they sat on a shelf. You understand that? The reason why they're still around is because they were rejected and sat on a shelf. Now, the manuscripts your King James Bible come from had to be constantly copied and copied and copied because they were used.
Yep.
And they would be used and used and they would fall apart. However, if you really want to teach that the oldest manuscripts are the best, then you will use the King James text because the papyrus, small little pieces of manuscripts that exist, dating back to the time right after the apostles' lives, within 20 years of John, who wrote Revelation, his death, those match our King James text.
Amen.
So if you're going to stick to the oldest is best, well, then get back to your King James Bible.
Amen.
And you say, well, I'm talking about complete manuscripts. Well, give it up. None of those are complete. Vaticanus is missing from Hebrews to Revelation. And so they go run into Sinaiticus and Alexandrinus. You want more information on that issue of the manuscripts, David Daniels, Chick, and Jack Mormon, M-O-O-R-M-A-N, of Dean Bergon Society, Peter Ruckman and his manuscript evidence book, all those sources will tell you the truth about the manuscripts.
Amen.
The nonsense is utterly endless. Stick to our infallible King James Bible. Amen? All right. Well, I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Language.
Linguistics.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life, the atonement for sin, and opened the light gate that all
I will see.